have your Bibles, shame on you. Bring them next time. We need to have the Word of God. We need to write notes in our Bibles. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. If you're there, say amen. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God. Say that, faithful God. Keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. Hallelujah. We see here in Deuteronomy that God is a faithful God. And he keeps his covenant of love. And the word of God is his covenant of love to us. Now we're going to go to Numbers 23:19. I'm going to make you work this morning. Numbers 23:19. And it says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? If you want to know the faithfulness of God, the first thing you've got to realize is that God never lies. What he says, he means. If he says it in his word, it's done as far as he's concerned. I've found out the faithfulness of God over the years. I've never truly known the faithfulness like I do today because of some things that's gone on in my life. But I realized that God was faithful when I first moved to Oklahoma. And we started to learn more about God, that God was cared about the things in my life. He cared about how I felt each day. He cared about if I was sick or healthy. He wanted me healthy. He cared about my finances. And I began to realize that God is a faithful God, because little by little, I began to experience him and the things that were going on in my life. You know, we're teaching the children in kids' church the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, trying to get them to know all the fruits. And it brings such joy to my heart to hear some of the parents say, well, my child said this today about the fruit. And I'm like, oh man, they're getting it. But one of the fruits that we've been learning about is faithfulness. And, you know, of course, this Galatians 5:22 is about us being faithful, but this applies to God. And this is what the main point is on faithfulness in our lessons for the children. Faithfulness is, I will do what I say I will do. I'm going to give this story, a quick one. Brother Brian was going to have to discipline little Lily because she had done something and she shouldn't have. Of course, little kids do that. And he was telling her on the phone. He was out of town and he was talking to her on the phone and saying, Lily, you know, we're going to have to discipline you when I get home because, you know, this is wrong. I know, Dad. I'll never do it again. And he said, no, Lily, this is going to have to be done. And she said, listen, Dad, listen to me. She said, I will do what I say I will do. And his heart just melted because he had seen me teach that lesson. So she was getting it. She knew what faithfulness was, that she was going to have to do what she said she was going to do. And so that really just made my heart to stir. But, you know, that is what God is. He says, I will do what I say I will do. If you can get that down in your spirit about God, then that's your battle right there in this life. If you will know that God will do what he says he will do, then you are a great candidate to receive great blessings in your life. How many of you want lots of blessings in your life? Hallelujah. I know I do. I love the Lord. And one thing I found out is that he will do what he says he will do. I'm just going to give you a little testimony. And as I give this testimony, I'm going to go through with you some of the things that really I struggled with in receiving from God. The main thing I had to come to grips was, is that my God was faithful. And what he said in his word was true. And that I could hold on to that no matter what was going on around me, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the enemy was saying in my head, I knew that God would not lie to me. And that when he said something in his word, I could stand on it and it would come to pass in my life. You know, I have believed God in the past for finances. Oh, and you know what? That really wasn't that hard for Ron and I to believe for finances. For some reason, that just clicked for us. I mean, we've believed God for finances for 20-something years now, and we've never been hurting during that time since we started realizing the faithfulness of God. And that when you do what he says to do about your finances, he will do what he says he's going to do. And he will bless you. And God has been good to us in that area. So I thank God for that. And even with this one was a bigger struggle for me, believing for my family. Believing that you could go to sleep at night knowing that God would take care of them. If you've got children, teens, of course mine are men now, but I still pray for them. But when they were teens and they were out at night, I could go to sleep peacefully and not worry. But I wasn't always there. I started out worrying. I started out fretting. I started out, you know, just letting the cares just consume me. And I would lay awake at night thinking of all these horrible things. But then God began to correct me with his word and say, I am faithful if you will only believe that I'm faithful. See, God can only move in your life and he can only do for you when you know without a shadow of a doubt that he's faithful to his word and that he will not lie to you. Then you can rest and have peace. But you can't rest and have peace if you're not for sure on that. Well, this last trial that I went through, actually, it's kind of been an ongoing little trial. I had just given a testimony on a Wednesday night about the faithfulness of God to heal, that God heals. Because I had had a knot come up on me, and it was, you know, what is the first thing you think of when a knot comes up or something foreign, you know, you're like, oh my gosh, it could be cancer. What if it's in my whole body? What if, you know, you're just constantly thinking these things and fear grips your heart. Well, God had delivered me one time, and I don't know how come it seemed so easy at that moment, but I had gotten healed and it seemed so easy. Well, it happened again. How many knows that the devil will come back? If he's put something on you one time, he'll come back to see if you're going to stand again. This time I was given a testimony about how faithful God was to heal me. And he's healed me of many other things too. But this one was just where the fear really gripped me. And I had not even got finished with my sermon. And I had the sharpest pain right in the place where I'd had the knot before. And it hurt so bad. Of course, now I know that the enemy will come to attack you, to take your testimony away. But at that moment, you know, I was standing my ground. I was, you know, devil, you're a liar. But when the pain intensified and got really bad, and then I checked and there was a huge knot that was bigger than my finger. And it was hurting. It was so painful. I never had anything like that happen to me before. And the fear, I want to tell you, the fear gripped my heart. It gripped me so bad, I did not have any peace. And I'm talking about, I didn't even tell my husband about it for over a week. I had to deal with the fear. Because I knew if the devil was going to get me, it was going to get me in the fear place. I had to settle something within myself. Even though the fear was there, I had to say, God, you are faithful. Your word says. And the first thing you got to know is when you're dealing with any trial or situation in your life that comes against you, the first thing you got to know is that what God's word says about what you're going through. I had to know without a shadow of a doubt that God's word says that by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. I had to know without a shadow of a doubt that he bore my infirmities. He carried my diseases and sicknesses and pains. I had to know that in my heart. I had to know it. And I had to know that there was nothing that in my life that was going to be hindering God's healing. Because, you know, sometimes we do things that can hinder. So I examined my life and there was nothing there actually there was a few things that God dealt with my heart about. I had to deal with them. I even wrote to a high school friend who I'd not seen but maybe once in 20-something years to apologize to her about something. Because I didn't want nothing absolutely nothing to stand in my way from receiving what God had for me. But I knew in my heart, God, your word says, you are faithful to your word. You will never disappoint me. You will always do what you say you're going to do. So I settled that in my heart. I got the scriptures down. I had them down. I listened to them. I had a booklet. I had all my warfare. I want us to go to this verse in here, if I can find it. Let's go to Philippians. Chapter 4, I believe. These are places in your Bible. You need to have them underlined. You need to have them asterisks by them, everything. Verse 4 and 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. All right. So, be careful for nothing means be anxious for nothing. I knew that God wanted to bring about healing in my body. I knew that that was mine, that there was no doubt about that. But the symptoms were saying something different. My mind was saying something totally different. So I had to combat worry. Have you ever been there? Worry. Worry, almost, it just almost wanted to consume me. I would lay at nighttime, I would go to sleep, and within, 30 minutes be waking up again with more bombardments of all these lies from the enemy, because he'll try to get you to question God and whether he is true. If his word is faithful to do what it says it will do, he'll try to get you to question, just like Adam and Eve, when he was in the garden with them, what did he come to them with? He reasoned with them and tried to get them to say, did God really say that? You think God's really going to do that for you? Wasn't that back then? It's not for today. Are you sure? Because if you're not sure, you could die. If you're not sure that God said this, you could die. I mean, all these thoughts coming into your head. But I knew that worry is a sin. I want you to say that with me. Worry is a sin. It's a sin because worry means that you're doubting the word of God. You're doubting the validity of God's word. And so anything contrary to God, it's sin. And I had to combat the worry in my life. I mean, it was, I can't really explain to you how bad it was, but it was like 24/7 for the longest time. It seemed like forever. I had thoughts come into my mind. I had worry that was trying to take over. I had my scriptures. I would say them, this whole booklet, two, three times a day. And all during the day, I would go over them in my mind. What I had to do is I had to let those thoughts fall dead. And the only way they could fall dead was me speaking what God said. I had to speak it all the time. The worry was so bad at times, I just felt so weary. I was so tired. It was worry is fear. There was such a fear. I was so weary. But I would not let anything come out of my mouth that was contrary to what God's word said. Because I said, God, if you are real, and I know that you are, then you will not disappoint me. Because you will back up your word. Because your word is faithful. Because you are faithful. It's not God has the attributes of faithful. He is faithful. And I said, God, if you are faithful, then I can stand on this word and I don't have to go by what's in my head. I don't have to go by what all these symptoms are saying to me. I can go by what your word says. And I knew if I could get to peace that the healing would come. Well, I wasn't getting anywhere with the peace. I was making sure my mouth was in tune. I cut off the TV. I didn't spend much time with my husband for several weeks. I just, I would go to my room, get the Bible out, speak the word. I would rebuke the thoughts, rebuke the enemy. I would say, devil, you are a liar. And you're not going to have your way with me. I know the word of God and I know in whom I believe. And he is faithful to do what he said he would do. He has bore my this sickness. He has carried my pains. All tumors and growths have to dissolve in my body. And I would just begin to speak it over and over and over. And I would just begin to praise God. There's another weapon you can have right there is praise. Because this word right here says, be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. It's not going to God and begging him to do something for you. God, please do something for me. Please heal me. Please deliver me. Please set me free. That is begging. God has already given it to us through Jesus Christ. He said, I have already given you everything you need. I have given you salvation, which includes deliverance. It includes prosperity. It includes health. It includes anything you need. We have it. And he said, once you come to me, if you truly believe that my word is true, then begin to thank me. Every time you bring me to remembrance of my word, thank me. And I reminded God of his word. I don't know how many times a day I would remind him of his word. I would be sitting there quietly. People would be having conversations going on around me. And they didn't know this, but I'd be sitting there talking to God. Thank you, God. Thank you that you're faithful to your word. Thank you that you've redeemed me. Thank you that you translated me from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are the God that heals me. You are the God that delivers me. You know, I would just begin to do that and thank him over and over and over. If you are desperate for your life, when you think that it could very well be something that could take your life, you will get desperate with God. And you will begin to stand on his word. You know, the problem that we have is that we want to go to church on Sunday and get up in the prayer line. And then if it doesn't happen immediately, we're going to walk out the door and believe all the negative reports. I'm going to tell you a story of a lady, a young lady with two little children. We had watched this video the other night at the Miller's. It had a bunch of testimonies on there. And one of them was a lady who was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease. How many of you know what that is? That's a pretty bad disease. I mean, you slowly die and you of suffocation, but it just takes your life away. I helped to take care of this one lady who used to go to church a long time ago. She had it, and she just deteriorated. I mean, it was such a sad and horrible thing. Well, this young lady gets this report, and they're like, oh, my gosh. You know, she's thinking all these thoughts. I'll never see my children grow up. You know, what am I going to do? You know, the fear, the worry. But then she got a hold of somebody in her family, said, go to these healing classes. So she went to some healing classes and she found out that God's word will do what it says it will do if you will believe. That's all that faith is to believe on God's faithfulness. Do you believe he's faithful? Do you really believe he's faithful? If you do, your actions show it. Well, she got into the word and they began to teach her that, hey, you know, Jesus has already bore the stripes for your healing. You can stand on that word and you can believe it. Well, when they finished these classes, she was believing in God's faithfulness. And what she did was she threw away all the information that the doctors had given her about Lou Gehrig's and all the symptoms and all that kind of stuff. She said she got rid of it. Totally. Was not going to look at that anymore, was not going to concentrate on that anymore. She was going to concentrate on the word of God. So instead of having, all the stuff about how to do this, if this happens, and, you know, if your body starts to do this, around the house, she got rid of that and put scriptures everywhere. Refrigerator, doors, windows, everything. That's all they spoke was the word of God. She spoke it continually. She said, I am going to believe God. You know, if the doctors give you no hope, then sometimes it's easier to believe God when you've got no hope. But if you think that the doctors, you know, are your way of escape, it's harder to believe because believing is standing your ground and being firm and knowing that God's word will work. Well, she got to doing that. And at first, you know, nothing changed. But all right. Am I okay out there? I don't like these, but now where was I? Oh, at first there was absolutely no change. And but she kept on, her and her family. They would not, even her mother and father, everybody was in agreement with this. They were not going to speak anything other than what God's word said about her. And slowly, bit by bit, things started to change. Things started to change. Just a little bit at a time. Eventually, she went back to the doctor. And they're like, you know, they could see that something had been there. Something was wrong because there was nerve damage and stuff. But they're like, there's absolutely no trace of the Lou Gehrig's disease anymore. Absolutely none. Do you think for one moment that this young lady didn't have to combat worry and fear? But she said, I'm going to choose to believe in God's faithfulness to his word. And I'm here today to say that it's not just for one person. It's for everyone who calls himself a believer of God. God wants to do his word in your life. You know, the problem that we have in this Philippians 4, it says, when you're careful for nothing but in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving you let your requests be made known unto God. Look what it says in verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's only when you pray and begin to thank him that the peace of God will come. But then we go on and it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. The way you maintain your peace is to keep your mind on the right stuff. You keep your mind on what God says. You keep your mind on what is good and pure. You don't keep your mind on the negative stuff. Because, listen, the way we get the kingdom of God to work in our lives is to keep our focus on the word of God and what it says and not what anything else says. That's where we're missing it. We get our focus on everything but the word of God. But the word of God is true. You know, I told Ron the other night, I said, how can we get people to understand the importance of the word of God? How can we get them to see that they need to open up their word? They need to read their word. They need to meditate on the word because that's where the life is. You know, we are not going to live the life of a victory if we never open our Bibles, because that's the word is life. And if you don't, the Holy Spirit brings back to your remembrance what you've read, what you've studied on. He brings the good things back to your remembrance, the lovely things that God says, what he says you are. He brings that to your remembrance. If you never open your word, you don't know what to meditate on. And when the troubles come, you will fall. And I don't care who prays for you, unless it's a miracle of God where God just, in his mercy, just heals you. You're not going to receive what you're looking for because you don't believe in the faithfulness of God. You have to get into the word to know his faithfulness. The word becomes life inside of you. It becomes alive in you. And the more you read it, the more you want it. You know, people say, I just don't have a desire. Well, you're never going to. If you don't open the word, you'll never get the desire to read the word. Never. The word is living. It's powerful. When you begin to read it, it puts life inside of you. And it changes things. You begin to see the word of God is like a mirror that shows you who you can be and who you are in Christ Jesus. And the minute you put the word down, what do you see? You see yourself as you were before Christ. That's why even if you're not looking at the word, you need to have it in your heart. Because in your heart, you can continue to see who you are and what God has promised for you. People, we have not even touched the fringe of what God wants us to have. It's not just in health. It's in our finances. It's in our families. It's in everything you can think of. God wants to bless you. And he says you can have it if you can believe in his faithfulness. Hallelujah. You know, the reason I love to worship is because I know who God is. I know what he's done for me. And I know what he can do for you. Hallelujah. You know, it grieves my heart when people just don't know who he is. He's just waiting for you just to say, God, I believe in you. I believe in your faithfulness. I believe you'll do what you say you will do. There's a really good scripture that you need to read. It's in 2 Corinthians 1:20. Oh, God, all of God's word is so good. Every bit of it. I'm telling you, this will sustain you. When my kids wouldn't come, when things would be happening and they wouldn't come home right on time at night, buddy, I would be in the Word. I would be speaking the Word. Because the Word is what will protect my children. The blood of Jesus is what will protect my children. Not me worrying and fretting. That's not going to do nothing but let the enemy come in. Amen? 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "No, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes." Say yes. They are yes in Christ. No matter how many promises, that means positively, without a shadow of a doubt, God says you can have them. They are yours. Okay? And then it says, I think this is in the NIV translation, and it says, and so through him, the amen. Does anybody know what amen means? It means so be it. It says, and so through him, the so be it is spoken by us to the glory of God. God says he can't do anything until you get in agreement with his word and say, so be it. Are you ready to get there? Are you ready to say, God, so be it according to your word unto me? Isn't that what Mary said? Isn't that how come she conceived Jesus Christ? It's because she said, so be it unto me according to your word. If she hadn't have said that, Jesus wouldn't have been born through her. Listen, every promise of God, he says, all you got to do is say, so be it. So be it. So be it. And you know, I'm learning that. Now, I have not arrived, by no means. I've got a long ways to go. But I have learned from my experience in God that if I am bold enough to step out there and say, so be it, God, according to your word, I know it will happen just like God said. I know it. There's no doubt in my heart because I've been there. I was telling you about the worrying and the fretting and the fear. I knew to guard that. The Bible says, let me see if I can find it here. In 2 Corinthians 10, let's go there. I don't want you to think I'm making this stuff up. Pastor loves to go to the scripture so you'll know, you'll have foundation. You need foundation. Because there's going to come a time when you need to believe God for yourself. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We should all know these scriptures, starting in verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, you remember that. We're not dealing with flesh and blood here. We're dealing with spiritual stuff. And when we're dealing with spiritual stuff, because when the sickness and disease comes against you, it's a spiritual battle. A lack of finances comes, spiritual battle. Family that's not saved, spiritual battle. They're not carnal. In other words, they're not in the natural. But we can pull down the strongholds, and this is how we do them. Verse 5. Casting down imaginations. Where do imaginations go? Right here. Imaginations, that means your mind begins to imagine things. But listen, you cast down these imaginations and anything else, and every high thing, any imagination, any thought, anything that tries to come against the knowledge of God. In other words, if there's a thought that comes to you that is contrary to what this word says, you cast it down. You say, I refuse to think on that. That's a lie from the devil. The word of God says this. Well, when I was dealing with those, with the tumors, and I'm going to tell you this, it happened to me more than once. That one got healed. And then weeks later, the devil comes back. Another one, another spot. And you got to realize something. I had been praying for the sick, and it seemed like every time I would pray for the sick, I would get attacked by the enemy. It's not something just idly that you do is go and pray for the sick. You better know this is a spiritual warfare you're dealing with. And when you're praying for the sick, you better be prepared and equipped to know who you are in Christ and what you can do. I was attacked like three more times after that. But the first time was the hardest battle because I had to cast down the imaginations. I had to cast down the fear. Did you know fear is a high thing that tries to exalt itself above the knowledge of God? I said, no way, Jose. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and of a sound mind. I refuse to fear. I refuse to think on those things that says that you're going to die, that cancer's all through your body. Because I'm going to tell you, the pains weren't just were in one spot. It began to move over my whole body. And it was like, God, you know, what is this? But I said, no, I know, Lord, you've got a plan for my life. I know my life is not shortened. I made an appointment to go to the doctor. I didn't really want to, but I felt like I had to for my husband because I eventually told him. Sometimes you don't want nobody to know because you need to stand for yourself. You don't need nobody's sympathy because sympathy don't get you nowhere. You don't need self-pity. You don't need pity from anybody else. It doesn't get you anywhere. Not with God. So once I finally told him, I went ahead and made the appointment, but it was a month later. They weren't going to let me in early. I said, thank you, Jesus, because I didn't want to go soon. I had to get it in my spirit, in my heart, that I was ready because I knew that there were some things I had to battle with. I had to battle with the fear. I had to battle with all the thoughts that were bombarding my heart. And I'm going to tell you, there was one comment from one godly woman that changed everything for me. And I knew that I knew that I knew that it was a done deal. And this is what she said. She said, you can have faith in your heart and doubt in your mind. Think about that. You can have faith in your heart and doubt in your mind. It's it with the heart man believes. I just made sure that when the doubts would come, I cast them down. When the thoughts, it says here, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Any thought contrary to what I knew was what God said I could have, I cast it down. Because my mind was a place for the devil to constantly bring thoughts against. But my heart was settled and sure on God's faithfulness of his word. And I knew, I said, God, it can be no other way. I know what's coming into my head, how the enemy's saying this, but God, in my heart, I know it can be no other way. And when I got that settled in my heart, buddy, I was ready. I was ready for anything. I said, God, that's it. That's it. I'm ready. I went to the doctor. They could not find nothing. She was like, why are you even here? I was not surprised because I knew the knot had already gone. I'm telling you this because this is where you can win your victories. Just to know that God will do what he says he will do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is so good. So good. And I'm going to tell you, there's been several times since. But when I got it that second time, actually, because the first time was years ago, and the second time, once I got it, I was like, devil, you got the nerve, buddy. You got the nerve. I know who I am now. I know you don't have no right to me. Get your filthy hands off of me. you pay and you go. And I would not worry. I would laugh. he thinks he's going to pull one on me. No way. I'm not going to receive it. And every time they've gone. And now I said, Lord, I'm not going to let him come back on me anymore. I'm tired of this. And I began to speak the word of God and just say, devil, you're a liar. Get your hands off me. You're not going to touch me again. This is one area I know in whom I serve. I know. Listen, anything you need in life, I don't care what it is. Know who you serve. He's a faithful God. He will do what he says he will do. There's a scripture here. Oh, that is so good. If we are faithless, this is in 2 Timothy 2:13, it says, if we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. He cannot disown himself. I'm asking you today, what are you believing God for? Do you believe he's a faithful God? This is something we need to come grips with, because I've been studying on praying with faith. And there's a lot of things we do that we think is faith. It's not faith. It's hope. I hope God will do this for me. I hope God will come through for me. No, hope doesn't get it. Bible says that faith is the substance that we need to get things from heaven. It's like currency. You want to go down to McDonald's? What are you going to do when you get to when you order one of those Big Macs? You're going to just say, I hope you'll give me a Big Mac. Or are you going to just go up there and put the substance down of a $20 bill or whatever? And you're going to say, give me a Big Mac. Which one are you going to get? Are you going to get it with your hope, or are you going to get it with the money? The same with God. Faith means an absolute trust in God's faithfulness to do what he says he will do. That is what will get you the blessings of God. That is what will bring it to pass in your life. Hallelujah. Everybody stand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's just begin to praise him. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we worship you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. You're so worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that you will do what you say you will do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just begin to praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.